Can you tell from the smell?
I'm trying. Is the bourbon smell I'm picking up?
No, I didn't make a bourbon drink. I thought about it. But...
I'm still not good at identifying my...
That's okay.
At least not by smell. There's like a lemony smell to it.
There's a lot of lime. I might have put too much lime juice in it.
Lime, okay.
To be honest. Now that I taste it. Yeah, I think I put too much lime in it.
I taste lime. It's lime and then burn of some sort.
Well, I got that part right.
I would call this the burning lime.
It's supposed to be Patron Añejo, aged tequila and lime juice.
But... Now I get it. Now I get the tequila.
Yeah. But it's like really smooth tequila. It's really expensive. It's really expensive tequila.
I believe you.
So I bought the smallest bottle you can buy, which was like 3 ounces in the fancy glass bottle. For those at home. And it was like $18 at Lisa's.
I've spent more than that on things that I have drank.
That have
been consumed in the liquid form by me and my wife.
I too have drunk or spent far more than that. I'm just saying the smallest amount that I've purchased for that amount of money.
I know
that's what you're saying. I'm so confused.
That's okay.
Hi everybody, we're Buddies in Space.
Hey, we're Buddies in Space, and we are. Working our way slowly towards getting a little bit... Nah, we're not going to get drunk off this.
The lime juice will counteract any of the alcohol, because I put such an ungodly amount in it. Sorry.
Mm.
It was a big lime.
It needs a little bit of... Not much, but a little sweet in there to cut that lime. Or just maybe not as much lime.
It's not as much lime, because I really like real lime, rather than like the... whatever that lime juice you buy is. I mean, roses isn't bad.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
But I'm... The thing I don't like is... I will order, like, a margarita every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, any of your... In most restaurants that sell margaritas, it's, like, crazy sweet.
It's disgusting.
It is.
It's a sorority girl drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm always hoping, you know, I order like the premium margarita once in a while, hoping that maybe it'll be like a little bit better than that. But it usually is not.
That's really just like a $2 upcharge for a more expensive tequila that you still can't taste.
But they're still putting the same other crap into it.
Nothing else changes. That's a good point. That would be funny if there was like a premium. There's a place that did premium upcharges for everyone.
For not putting as much crap in it. That's great.
We'll ruin your drink less, but $2 more. You really enjoyed the drinks at tastings when I used to wait tables there, when it used to exist.
Yeah, but they weren't all that, they weren't like all super crazy sweet ones. You had a little more range of flavors, I thought.
Yeah, our bartender, Joe, he's somewhere now, I forgot where, but he really liked doing our herbaceous stuff, too.
Yeah, I like the herbaceous.
You like herbaceous. You are an herbaceous dude.
I am. What was that drink I had in Vegas? The rosemary infused gin and something.
And it blew your mind?
It was great. It wasn't as good when we went there afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I was like talking it up. I was like, oh, you got to try this. And you're like, yeah, it's all right. And I tried it. I was like, oh, yeah, it is all right.
Do you think it was the lack of good company?
No. No, I think that it was that I had a bunch of them the previous time. And that just made it so much better in my mind.
Sometimes, I'm learning this, Erica is teaching me this the hard way, things do not hold up and they're better left in your memory.
Yeah.
For instance, many 80s movies.
Oh, I know.
Many of them starring Richard
Pryor. And I made you guys watch House, and I was like, House is awesome.
We were watching it like...
William Cat.
Why does he like this? Why does he like William Cat so much?
Because William Cat is awesome. I mean, I'm afraid to like go and try to watch an episode of Greatest American Hero now. It's probably horrible.
Yeah.
But I remember it being the best TV show when it was on. Like, far and away better than anything else that had ever been on television.
But somewhere, right now, someone is saying that exact same thing about Blacklist.
Oh, no!
No, but just...
Oh,
but
geez.
You have to remember, when you're younger...
We didn't talk about Blacklist last time, did we?
No, I don't think so. Oh, I was maligning God. It at work yesterday, and I, like, really kind of
who's
saddened...
Who's still watching this?
Most of America, apparently.
But
or
it's
at least
not,
significant...
It doesn't... It's not going anywhere.
Mm. Not only that,
things aren't happening. It's like they pretend that things happen, but nothing happens.
It's the two steps forward, three steps back principle of writing. But not only that, they're just repeating shit now. So the plot, like Eric and I were like, didn't they do this killer already? And then we look it up on IMDb, and I was like, yeah, it's like a slightly different version of the exact same story. It, only on the second season.
They don't even, they don't know what they're going to do with the relationship. He's maybe her father, maybe not. Nobody knows. The writers don't know.
It's the Lost. Well, but Lost made it work for the most part. They were totally winging it half the time. And Battlestar, too. But, yeah, not every writer has that ability.
You got to read this guy. This is an awesome film critic blogger called Film Crit Hulk. And I told Eric about this, but I don't think I've told anybody else. He writes as if he were the Hulk. In kind of Hulk speak, it's all caps.
I think you've mentioned this name.
And they're really, it's really well written. He's got a few typos there, which maybe that kind
is
of
that intentional. Or?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit intentional, maybe a little sloppy, but the guy's really smart. He knows a lot about films, and he makes really good points
in Hulk speak.
In Hulk speak,
nice.
Yeah, a little bit. The Hulk speak is just kind of it's peppered in there for flavor.
Oh, I thought the entire thing was...
The entire thing is in all caps.
Okay.
And he will, whenever he would say, in place of, I think this, he says, like, Hulk think this.
Okay.
But the writing is generally pretty good. It's not all Hulk writing. It's just, you know, like I said, it's just...
It's a good writer who needed a hook, and he found it.
Yeah, but he was, I happened to watch recently, just kind of, it was on TV. That's the only reason I watched it. John Carpenter, which is an awful movie.
John Carpenter.
It's you recognize it if it's if I say something like John Carpenter on Mars, or William Burroughs's John Carpenter.
Oh, was it called John Carpenter?
It was just called John Carpenter.
It's with Taylor Hitch.
Yeah, I guess.
Who can't carry a movie to save his life?
No.
Yeah, the guy from Battleship.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Right, wow. He goes to the other planet, and he can jump really high, and that's like...
It's Mars,
that's,
yeah.
I've just given the plot away.
No, they do that pretty quickly, but yeah, that's... And there's a princess, and...
She's inexplicably hot.
Yeah, but I watched it. It was bad.
Yeah,
it was like, sort of entertaining.
Mm.
It was one of those where, like, I got, like, 30 minutes from the end, and I was like, I'm just going to finish by reading the Wikipedia article about it so I don't have to watch the rest of it. Which was fine.
It had a twist, though.
It did have a twist.
It was a dumb twist.
Oh, so you've seen it?
Oh, yeah.
You did see John Carpenter.
Erica was away. Simon wasn't born yet. I got drunk one night and watched it, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
And I really liked Taylor Hitch from Friday Night Lights, and I'm starting to realize that he's just one of those actors that they just wrote a character around. But I've yet to see him do anything good since.
It was sort of an interesting premise, but there was just so much stupid in it.
Well, yeah, because they took like a really old Burroughs astral projection story, and then Disney made it.
Yeah, and they messed it up. It could have been good if they just said, "We're gonna have a fun, silly, goofy movie about this guy going to Mars and doing
and
stuff,
being able to breathe."
But they made it, like, they tried to give this character, like, a, like, crazy, dark, serious backstory, and it just didn't work.
Nope. You know who would have been great in that? If they just put Riddick in that.
But after I watched it, I looked up the Film Crit Hulk guy.
Okay.
He wrote a really, really good critical essay, I would have to say.
Okay.
It's more than a blog post. It was in depth, just explaining so many ways why it was such a bad movie. But he's always like, he tries to be positive about things.
Oh, wow.
At the same time. So
okay.
he tries to be a nice, friendly Hulk about things, but at the same time saying that it pains Hulk to say this, but this was...
So he's like,
this was
Gray Hulk?
Really bad. Yeah, sure.
Right?
I guess.
There's all the different colored Hulks. They all do a different thing.
Yeah, the gray one was the smart one, right?
Yeah, I think so. We're asking each other without confirming.
I got into Hook a little bit when I was a kid.
Did you?
But not... The TV show was awful. I mean, speaking of awful things from the 80s...
And Lou Ferrigno's an asshole.
Or was that even life. 70s?
It was...
Bill Bixby?
70s and 80s. Yeah. Lou Ferrigno's an asshole.
Really?
Yeah, we were, like, kind of cursing him out at Comic-Con. He was a dick.
What? What happened? What did he
do? Yeah, like, I told you that I met Chewbacca, right?
Yeah, tall guy.
Huge. Yeah, Andrew Prowse. Him
seated. He's, like, really friendly, though, from what I've heard. Maybe.
I mean, for a con?
Yeah.
Since I wasn't paying him for anything? Yes.
Okay.
I guess he really couldn't... I mean,
at least he's really into the whole Star Wars stuff still.
Right? Yeah. Well, yeah, he still gets to do it on occasion. I'd be really into a paycheck, too. But no, he and his wife were there, and there was no line. And I looked, and I'm like, holy, it's fucking David Prowse. Like, I've got Star Wars, like, every quote in my yearbook is Star Wars related. And I quoted Yoda for my senior quote. Like, I was that guy. And
you are that guy, Mike.
No. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Just don't look at the at least two things of Star Wars paraphernalia.
Try not to look at the walls. Anything here?
Yeah. Oh, look over there. It's all Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, yeah, that's better.
For that. Also Final Fantasy VII. But, yeah, so I went up to him and I was like, I had no idea you were going to be here. Like, I was totally not trying to be a jerk, but, like, totally, like, I'm kind of, like, I don't know what to say. This is awesome, but I feel stupid. And he's like, you should have looked at the schedule. Like, you're stupid. And he's like, do you want to buy an autograph? And I'm like, I don't have any money left. Can I get a picture with you? And he's like, all right.
Aww.
So me standing is, his head is the same height as my head, but he's sitting. But yeah, but Lou Ferrigno, like, people were like, hey, Hulk. And he's like, shut up. And then someone tried to take a picture of him. And he just yells, $20. And then he hid. He wouldn't let anyone take a picture of him unless they paid him. So we're like, dude, you're on public display at Comic-Con.
That's kind of putting them on the level of those guys in Vegas who, like, dress up as Batman.
I'm Batman.
And try to get people to pay to take their pictures
with them. Or the guys who dress up as gladiators outside of the Colosseum in Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
It's sad.
It is. It's very sad. That's why I'm kind of curious about that new Alan Tudyk, Nathan Fillion web series, Con Man. Did you hear about that?
Con Man. No.
So you've seen Firefly, right?
Yeah, some of them. I haven't seen
them. You only do have seen one to get the premise, because that's why it's funny. So Alan Tudyk is writing this 10-minute per episode web series, and they're trying to get it, like, kickstarted or whatever the equivalent is for film stuff. It's an indie something.
Mm-hmm. And, Indiegogo or something?
So, yeah, I think it's Indiegogo. And the premise is Alan Tudyk plays a washed-up sci-fi actor who played a pilot on a sci-fi space show. Who just makes his living at Comic-Cons, like cons, and he has, like, a bad voiceover experience. And then Nathan Fillion plays the far more successful guy who played the captain of the same ship on the same show. And, like, he's kind of a dick. It's like, very tongue-in-cheek, self-referential stuff.
Yeah.
But it seems funny.
Oh, but yeah, Film Crit Hulk. Was that where we broke off here?
Yes, Film Crit Hulk.
Yeah, was talking about why John Carpenter was so bad. And one of the reasons why, and I'm kind of going to spoil a little bit of the movie, but not really.
You're doing everyone a favor by preventing them from seeing this, trust me.
So if you remember, if you have that painful memory that you haven't expunged yet, I'm going to dredge it up now.
Okay.
Throughout the beginning, like, half of the movie, maybe even more than half, you see this guy who's John Carpenter. He's wearing a couple of wedding bands around his neck. They make a point about it. You've tried to forget.
Yeah.
But nobody. You never know why.
Right.
So you're like, what? Did he leave his wife? What? Why is he doing this? I don't know. And finally, like, at least halfway through the movie, there's a scene where there's a big fight and all these guys are, like, piling on him, and he just kind of goes ape shit and
does he
starts
go Hulk?
Yeah, he hulks out and starts killing them, and they intersperse this big fight with his flashbacks of what happened to his wife and family, which is, I guess, they were killed by some soldiers or something.
Yeah,
it wasn't even good. It was fight cut to him finding out that his wife is dead, cut back to fighting, cut back to him burying his wife. It was a horrible set of cuts. I mean, it took away from both scenes.
Right, neither of them had the impact they
wanted
to have. Yeah.
It was a stupid choice. and the whole reason why they led up to, well, the reasoning is that they wanted his backstory to be a mystery up to that point.
Mystery.
Yeah. Which is the whole problem with things like Lost and Blacklist is that it's, and it was, I think it was the same writer who did the script for John Carter. Who did Lost.
You said John Carpenter. That's why I was so
confused. Say John Carpenter?
Yeah.
I meant John Carter.
I was like the director. They made a movie. Yeah, John Carter.
John Carter.
John Carter makes more sense. John Carter.
For anybody who was confused, we were talking about John Carter.
Now, the readers or the listeners all know what.
But yeah, I think it's the same writer who did Lost and.
Oh, yeah, Damon Lindelof?
I think so.
Yeah, he does a lot of stuff.
But somebody can fact check that for me. But anyway, Film Crit Hulk was saying that it's because the whole thing about we need to have mystery to string the viewers along, and that's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, I think that's a crutch.
And he pointed out pretty clearly that if you had in the beginning say, here's the guy, here's what happened to his wife and family, isn't it terrible? Now don't you feel more sympathy for this guy for the rest of the movie instead of just wondering what the hell he's doing?
Yeah.
It makes a lot more sense, but because they wanted to have everything be mysterious.
Mysterious.
Yes. I mean, that's the whole thing with Blacklist. Although it's hard to argue against it because it's so fucking popular.
James Spader. He's doing Ultron. He's just doing Ultron. That's my theory. It's like a massive practice for Avengers 2, which I want to see.
So yeah, go check out Film Crit Hulk. He also did a really nice one on Prometheus.
Oh, God. Did you hear that Noah Blomkamp's continuation of the original Alien franchise got greenlit?
What?
Did you hear about this whole thing?
No.
It's awesome. So if you look up pictures, they're awesome. He did concept art with Ridley in a suit made to look like an alien so she could infiltrate. And he was like...
That sounds really stupid, I have to
say. Well, it's just concept art. I don't know. They looked really cool.
But that premise sounds really stupid.
I'm guessing what's going on there. Actually don't know. So they went viral and everyone was like, holy shit, these are amazing. And he's like, no, we were in talks and it fell through. And then Prometheus 2 news kind of came out. And then apparently what's her face? Ridley. Oh my God.
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver. Thank you. Was like, I will only do another Alien movie if he makes it. And then, I don't know, Fox, whoever owns the rights, was like, okay, let's talk again. So then they greenlit it. So there's going to be two tracks.
That's who Ridley Scott does?
Or Fox. I don't know, whoever owns the Alien franchise. Does Ridley Scott own the rights to it?
Who does she want to be the director?
Noah Blomkamp. The guy who did District 9.
Right. Okay.
So, so they're going to do, basically, he's going to pretend that Alien 3 didn't happen.
That's a good place to start.
And that's why I meant to. That's why I wanted to tell you this. So he said, yeah, we're going to pretend Alien 3 never happened. So we're going to basically pick the franchise up after Alien 2 when it was still
good. That's cool. I mean, right? Even if it sucks, the fact that they're retconning.
yeah, that, it's a massive like, retcon.
3, 4, was there even a 5? I don't know.
It's a quadrilogy. I think there
were 5.
No, it's a quadrilogy. Well, Prometheus doesn't count
anymore. Yeah.
But
retconning out the other.
The horrible
Alien movies is good no matter what else happens.
Three wasn't horrible. I mean, it like really undid a lot of two. But dude, 4, when she gets, it's the future-ish for that, and then she gets gene spliced with an alien, and like that was fucking a travesty. Yeah.
Three, they lost me right off the bat when they said, Newt's dead.
Yeah.
Like, that girl that you cared so much about in the last movie that she managed to save, nah. Screw it.
The whole get away from her, you bitch, little girl. Yeah, she died. The bitch got her. Right.
We're going to start this movie with kicking the viewers in the balls. There you go.
Woo-bah!
Enjoy.
And now a movie about a prison planet. That was actually the first Alien movie I saw. So that's why I didn't hate on it so much. I'm younger. I don't have access to... But so it's weird that they're doing a second Prometheus movie. So they're ruining the franchise on the other end. And then, meanwhile, they're giving him the reins to try to fix. Do you want me to make some bourbon and ginger beer?
What? Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah? I'll pause it.
Okay.
All right, we're going to pause. I'm going to go make more alcohol.
I do have to drive home.
I'll make it weak.
Okay.
All right, we will be right back. And we are back. We have now switched to bourbon and ginger beer.
Yeah, which tastes much better.
I'm sorry I ruined really good Patron.
Don't apologize to me, Mike. Apologize to the Mexicans, I guess.
Actually, I should apologize to my wallet because even that small amount of Patron was stupidly expensive.
You ever been to Mexico?
No. Hmm? No. I've been north of the to Canada. No, I was just north of the border. So I've been in the United States all my life.
I've been north of Mexico several times.
No, I think Arizona was the farthest, or Louisiana. I guess Louisiana's...
Louisiana's farther south.
Yeah. I was there when my parents were doing their cult revival thing for the Way Ministries.
Oh, that... Wow.
If I never really brought up the cult thing
on
the podcast...
Uh-oh, is it going to happen now?
Yeah, whatever.
So you went... You had like a family road trip to New Orleans? No, probably not New Orleans. The City of Sin?
Yeah, no.
Couldn't go there.
We were at the Rock of Ages.
Okay. Is that not a bar?
Not a bar.
Although I'm sure it's a bar somewhere.
It's a good Christian bar, Smith. Mm-hmm. It was an event. I was like two, so it could have been a month or a year. I'm still not clear on this. But basically, it was a giant field. It was like Christian Woodstock. Oh, well, there's a punchline coming to this.
Okay.
So my parents were in the Way Ministries, which, as I understand it, is mentioned in Da Vinci Code.
What is it?
The Way Ministries, as in the way. I will show you the way. I was two. And they were in the Way Ministries, and they paid tithe. So they paid part of their income to the church.
So it was like a franchise.
Kind of? Yeah, it was franchise
fees. Exactly like a franchise.
It was just like an IHOP. They are in some way, I think, connected to Opus Dei, the bad guys from the Da Vinci Code, because they mentioned the way in Da Vinci Code. I was like, oh shit, I was in that. So we were in Louisiana, and I really don't know. I keep meaning to ask my mom how long we were there. But yeah, they were in this Rock of Ages. We were living in a tent. Just thousands of people living in tents and campers.
Nice.
And
that does sound like Woodstock.
Mm-hmm. I told you. And I remember vaguely, maybe I was three or four.
But no free love at all.
It's funny you should say that because that's the punchline here.
What?
So I recently brought this up with my mom again. I was like, hey, remember the way? And she's like, yeah, it's so sad about that. And I'm like, that you were in it? Because, you know, we've kind of agreed to disagree on the religion thing, but we still kind of toe the line of being kind of funny with each other. And she's like, no, you know, they really had things right. And I swear to God, this is almost exactly how she said it. You ready? I love my mom to death. No, they really, you know, they really had things right. And they really lost their own way. She wasn't even trying to be ironic. They really lost their own way when the church leaders started sleeping with everyone's wives.
Ah, yeah.
It was just like it was just like that old chestnut.
Yeah, and it is. But that's you know, you read about the, you know, the cults and the
Jonestown and all those. Jonestown. And always everyone, the dude, the leader's banging everyone's wife.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, you think when you got that much power over people, you know, why not? Who's going to tell you no?
It's just vagina at that point. Your power is just directly equaling vagina. Yeah.
But yeah, that stuff gets really messed up. I was reading something about some dude who was, I don't know, something, he was in the news recently. I forget where he was from, but he had this cult of his own family was the cult.
Yeah, that's actually the worst, I think.
And it was it was just awful.
Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre awful?
Yes. Yeah. He was having sex with his own children, and that was his thing. He believed that he was kind of creating his own little master race. Okay. But no. you got something to throw to tag on to that?
No,
because I could continue the story, but maybe
I will derail you.
Truly awful.
So
you can look this. If anybody wants to Google this guy, I forget what his name is, but he ended up killing a bunch of his kids.
Ooh.
One of his wives or somebody had got out and actually went to the authorities and they got to his house.
Oh, there was an ATF standoff kind of thing?
It was it wasn't even like that. It was sir, we understand there's some sort of domestic dispute here. Could you come out and we can talk to you about it? He's like, okay, just a minute. And he goes in and
bang, exactly. Oh my God. Wow.
It didn't happen recently, but he was in, it was probably for sentencing or something. So now do you want to segue out of that?
Well, my father years later moved us to a mountaintop and tried to start a cult compound. It didn't happen though, but it was cool.
Maybe he just didn't do enough advertising.
He was lazy about it. It's kind of a lazy cult starter. See,
you can't do that. You can't be a lazy
cultist. No, you have to be a go-getter cultist.
You do. You need that ambition.
Yeah, if you're worshiping Cthulhu, you don't sit around and be like, I'm going to worship Cthulhu tomorrow, but today I'm going to go sell insurance. Because that's what I do.
Cthulhu. Those virgins aren't going to sacrifice themselves, you know.
Well, but, if I wait long enough, there won't be virgins anymore. I don't have to kill them. So tired.
No, man, that is I think it's got to be serious work to be one of these cult leaders.
Mm-hmm. There's actually...
Because they do. I mean, they study the hell out of the Bible. And I realize the irony of the way I phrased that, but that's... they know their stuff.
Well, to have... So I really think that there is a part of the human brain that... I think Joseph Campbell got into this quite a bit. The whole, idea of myth and ritual.
Mm-hmm.
We are still wired for that. But... as time moves on, we're getting further away from ritual and myth. And Joseph Campbell's theory was that's...
I don't know, I think probably we're just changing it, but...
Well, yeah. No, I would disagree. We're trying to replace it. I don't think it's working. And I'm not doing it justice. If you read any of his writings, I'll lend you The Power of Myth. I think it's amazing, him and Bill Moyers. But the fact that, it used to... ritual used to consume your life. And that doesn't sound like a good thing, but it gave you, a shit ton of purpose, so you didn't really... you didn't lack a lot in terms of meaning. But nowadays we try to fill it with, we buy things and we go on vacation, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that's what makes religion and I think cults so powerful is I think we're still wired on a pretty genetic level.
Then we see this, and this was just in the news in the last couple of days. There was a woman in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about now.
No, I think I'm talking about the woman who got the baby cut out of her.
No. Jeez, no.
Yeah.
Gosh. No, this would be a Muslim thing, and I'm not lumping all Muslims, but this was and I think it was
a bad Muslim thing.
It was not even that. It was that these are people living in a culture that is very much connected to their religion,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's sort of what you're talking about, the whole the myth and ritual thing,
right. It's
embedded. Something happened. There was a woman who was in a... She was some sort of a scholarly woman.
No, so right off the bat, smart woman.
A smart woman. Ew. Well, okay. And apparently she... Somewhere in a town or city, she got into some altercation with a fortune teller woman.
Okay.
And the fortune teller woman just got angry... and started accusing her of having burned the Quran.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yes. And doing this loudly, obviously, to attract attention to the woman who had done no such thing.
Right.
But this was this other woman's way of...
Getting back at her.
Yeah, getting back at her. And eventually a crowd came up and ended up just basically beating her to death horribly.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
But I mean that's kind of the negative side of being so.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of negatives
tied into to myth and ritual.
Mm-hmm. You don't misunderstand. I'm not saying I'm a particular fan of myth and ritual.
Okay, I wasn't sure there. I'm a fan of myth. You're saying that we're missing something now.
Well, I am saying that. I'm not saying it's good or bad. This is going back to the sociology thing. My point is that we, as a society, have outstripped our genetic evolution. Technology is moving so fast, and so the way we interface with each other is moving so fast that we're not catching up on a more fundamental level internally, and you know what I mean? There are so many changes within one generation to the how we interact. There was no internet when I was a kid.
Right.
Now there's...
Well, me
fucking
either.
You're old. There's no internet when I was a
kid.
We
didn't have cell phones.
And now there's Grindr. The number of iterations of technology and interfacing, the stripping away of boundaries.
Yeah.
That's like one generation, maybe two.
It's funny, though, that we kind of set up different boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that always gets me is that we finally have the technology where we can, like, do, you could do a video call with anybody anytime you want. Mm. But nobody does that. Mm-mm. They you text people instead. Mm-hmm. So in the past, we felt like, oh, someday we're going to be able to have video screens and just video talk to people.
They're everywhere.
now we have them, but mm-hmm. nobody wants to use them. No. Nobody wants that level of...
They're high def and you got to look nice. And
yeah.
That's
what I'm saying. Back in the past, everybody thought, yeah, that's going to be the big thing. But now it's like, we've gone back from even calling people to just, I'm going to send you a four-word text message.
Right. That conveys...
And do as little actual direct interfacing with you as I can.
So basically, the problem is, I'm going to marry what we're both saying.
All right.
The problem is, you know how, you know, everyone always says, you know, in the future, blank. The problem is, we're living then. We're living at that point in the future. We've reached most of those things.
Yes.
And we don't really have anywhere to go. And we're like, ugh.
Still don't have a rocket car or a jetpack or any of that stuff.
You can do a high-pressure water jetpack.
Not the same.
No.
Anyway.
But, yeah. I don't know. I'm really not doing it justice. Like, Campbell being, you know, having been the world's authority on myth, it's just fascinating the points he can make about how, like, the origins of so many cultures have come from, like, derived from the same myth taken different ways. And he was just so good at tying it all together because he knew so much about, you know, when you trace it, it's evolution. But it's just interesting the way and in his mind, he was an old rich white guy.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that colored to some degree.
Well, all great writers were, Mike, of course.
Eat your heart out, Maya Angelou.
Yeah. Who? What?
I was saying that.
So what in your life is mythical right now? Obviously, you kind of you've divorced yourself from a lot of the religious parts of your past.
All of them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So do you have something in your life that is taking that place that's like a powerful myth or something for you?
I don't know if I necessarily understand what you're saying, so I'm just going to interpret.
Okay. That works.
Something happened when I hit 30, and my friend's mom. I put a long. It'll get there. Don't worry. I put a thing on Facebook, which is what you do when you turn a decade older. You know, mm-hmm. you hit a round number, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm this age. Ah, I'm turning 30. Yeah. And my friend's mom, and my friend Ben's mom, she wrote me this beautiful little message. She's like, just so you know, I know it can be scary, but I think my 30s were the best time of my life. And I came into my own, and everyone around me came into their own at that age. And she goes, you know, just embrace it, and I think you're going to find. And I have found that all of a sudden... My creativity has become something I want on my level. Like, I walked away from acting because I failed at acting because I was always trying to do the acting for the other person in the room. When I auditioned...
I would say you failed at acting, but I know what you're talking about.
Well, I failed at being...
You walked away from it.
I failed at having a career. I never had a career as an actor. So, but now, like, with my writing, I'm on a very personal level, it's become, you know, I'm actually ritualistic about it. Except for every other Monday, we do this mm-hmm. podcast. But Mondays and Wednesdays, I told my wife, you know, like, I need to write. It's if I'm disciplined about it, I get more done. So, you know, writing my book and reworking it, it's become a really interesting thing about how I put myself into it. And it has its own mythology, I think. And it's definitely got ritual.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's about creativity. And it's my way of this podcasting, since we're not really performing much elsewhere. I'm not. And the writing or how I get my creative outlets in. So I'm making sure that my creative brain doesn't atrophy.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right.
What about you? What has mythology? Because otherwise, I am incredibly materialistic. But I have the excuse of having grown up incredibly poor. That's been proven time and again that when you grow up really poor, you kind of become materialistic when you get older because you didn't have, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, my wife is great. She also grew up poor, not as poor as I did, which I'm sure groan when she hears me say that because I always say that to her.
Okay.
But she doesn't have that materialism issue that I have. So, and I recognize that it's not good. Like, I try to fill the hole in my life sometimes with things that, you know, it's probably not the best
way. And I do that too, but I didn't really come from that.
No, so.
Background.
That's why we're kindred spirits.
But I'm totally a materialistic dick. In so many ways.
You're a dink. You and your wife are dinks.
Dinks, yeah.
Dual income, no kids.
And dink. Which, yeah, lends yourself to buying frivolous things.
We're Americans. I mean, that's what we're. That's what the world expects us to do.
Yeah. I never retort for that.
If we don't do that, Mike,
somebody has
who's going to employ those little children in sweatshops?
Right. Who's gonna send all the money to China if we don't keep doing this?
Man, it's depressing.
But no, I don't know. Maybe I'm lacking that sort of. I thought you were going to actually bring up your child as some sort of, like the hopes and dreams for the next generation.
I don't have no. I just feel bad for my kid.
Oh.
No, I'm going
to... Yikes.
I told you my philosophy of parenting, right? I know I've told you this, not on here, but...
Because honestly, I do too. I don't know if we're in the same... But we probably have some commonality here.
Yeah, I think we do. But so I'm convinced that every... I think raising the perfect child is nonsense. Because I'm convinced that every parent fucks their kid up. So my sole goal as a parent... My two-purpose sole goal... So that instantly makes no sense. My two sole goals are to fuck my kid up as little as possible and prepare him as much as possible to get by in whatever fucking state the world is in by the time he's older. Because I am terrified of where we're going.
I feel the same way on some of those things. Maybe not education, but I'm coming at it from a different perspective.
What's your perspective?
I think.
What are your fears for my child's
life? Really, the environment. I think that's a really big deal.
Oh yeah, and I mean, well,
anybody
they
who has a
of...
kid should be like super worried about there climate change. Yeah,
yeah. If you assume that that's actually something that's man-made, I mean, there's that argument that it's not man-made. It's
a
the actual
stupid argument, but yeah. But that's the thing that always gets me is that if you have a kid, why isn't that like your utmost concern? For the kid's future, he's going to have or she's going to have a planet in, you know, Florida and, you know, be able to go to places that aren't underwater. And.
But what, I mean, do you know how exhausting and time consuming it is to be a parent? I think you're giving parents a lot of credit for how much they have time to worry about things that aren't directly in front of them, trying to plug things into electric sockets and run downstairs.
I guess.
That's why we have you, Smike. The parents of the world, the young parents of the world, have the dinks that are you and your wife, who can worry about the state of the planet and, you know, give money to Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, do good that we don't have time or money to do because we're exhausted and broke because of our children. We're the problem. You're just slowing down the inevitable doom of our planet.
We're part of the problem, too, certainly.
Well, I've seen your house. Your carbon footprint isn't small.
No. Oh, gosh. We are just awful. I mean, just humans in general.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it comes down to.
We're a place.
I mean, you've created another awful thing, basically. You create another human, and...
Yeah. But I'm not religious. I'm only going to have, like, two. So that there's the bright side there.
Oh, man.
But when I watched The Matrix and the whole thing with Agent Smith being like, you know, humans are a virus.
It's hard to argue with that.
It's really hard. And I was like, you know, a freshman in college. And I was like, you could do that. If Peter Jackson filmed that moment, it would be the zoom pan thing where he rack focuses and zooms out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it does the stretching effect where it's going to my mind like, holy shit, he's right. Ah!
Yeah, it is hard to argue with Agent Smith there.
Computers are hard to argue with. It's just true.
But Matrix holds up pretty well.
Am I the only person in the world who kind of liked the second and third one?
I thought they were okay. But right at the same time, The Matrix was coming out. Existence came out.
Mm.
And I loved Existence.
Now, are you a Cronenberg fan? Because talk about a movie that does not hold up. I just watched it again last year with Erica, and I still hate it. And there's nothing about that movie that I should hate. It's video game related.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's got, like, crazy shit going on.
Yeah.
And it's got Cronenberg's thing about weird... fleshy, pulsating shit?
Yes. Which is in pretty much every Cronenberg movie.
Is it in History of Violence? I never saw that.
Oh, I don't know. Well, that was afterwards. He got a little bit more...
Normal,
I think, for those.
But yeah, I think it's just a shitty movie. And it might be because it got so heavily compared to The Matrix. I was like, no. This is like a TV movie compared to The Matrix. Seriously, it feels like a TV movie. And also, I don't know.
That was Jude Law, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Death to the Demoness, something or other.
Well, that's sad. I'll have to watch it again.
Not with me, well.
I bet Videodrome doesn't hold up.
Oh, wow. I need to see that. I've never seen that. I've never seen Naked Lunch.
Naked Lunch, I don't think you're missing.
I've never done acid, so maybe I just need to watch the movie. Then I could say, I know what doing a bad acid trip is like.
Right? Although Roy Scheider.
We're going to need a bigger boat. So I want to go back, though. Do you have a mythology of your own? Do you have rituals? Do you have rituals of your own?
I don't.
I feel like that's what OCD is.
I must have, but I just don't think of them as
because they're not labeled
such.
As rituals, yeah.
Right.
But I think that's why OCD is so much more prevalent now. I think it's just us trying to fill the gap of rituals.
That's true. I do worry about a lot of things.
You are worried.
Maybe that's the ritual now. Maybe it's just, maybe I have replaced spirituality with worrying.
You and my mom would get along so well. Worrying's addictive.
I think Christianity is just kind of like codified worrying, though, right?
I'm worried, gonna cross myself. Worry, worry, worry. Confession. Oh, a little breathing room. Worry, worry, worry.
I think we're onto something now.
I'm just thinking of like an absolution juice.
Huh.
By the makers of orbs.
I'd take some of that.
Would you? What do you have to be absolved from? Who did you kill, Smike? Where are the bodies? Land.
Not that's not for the podcast, Mike.
That's not for putting stuff down in a recorded public forum. No.
Oh. What did I do? I killed them all. Isn't that what that dude said?
What dude?
The dude they just arrested, like, some, what's his name, Durst?
Oh, did you watch, you don't have HBO, do you?
No.
Yeah, we need to really, we watched the first one and it is riveting. Did you know that he got caught at a Wegmans? So this guy is crazy rich, right? He's one of the heirs to a skyscraper fortune in New York City. And he decides to steal a sandwich from Wegmans. He's on the run, but he still has money.
Yeah.
He had a bag, like $100,000 in cash in his car.
You're on the run, though.
No.
You got to make that last, Mike. You got to stretch that out.
He wanted to get caught. A grinder? Really? You can't swing, and that was back then. It was Wegmans wasn't even as expensive as it is now. But no,
that hot bar is pretty pricey now.
But it wasn't a hot bar. It was a pre-made sub. They're cheaper.
Yeah.
They're cold. You don't get the $50 upcharge for the hot sub.
At least steal a sushi or something.
Right. I don't think they had sushi back then. Oh, it was a little bit further back.
All right. Satoshi wasn't doing
the thing back then. I know the head of the sushi program. He was not even a tasting set. But, yeah, but it's riveting. So even though now, unfortunately, we know that his whole plan the whole time for agreeing to do the documentary was to eventually admit to having gotten away with it, we're still going to go back and watch the rest of them because it's fascinating. Like, listening to his, like, high society wife who just clearly doesn't seem to like anything about anyone.
So like me, basically.
No, I mean, you up to, like, 11. But she's in, like, this fancy dress being interviewed, and she's like, I don't want to be here. It's amazing. And he, like, killed old people and dressed up like a woman and...
Allegedly killed.
No, he admitted to it, though.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is
he
weird.
He sort of admitted to it, but because he's crazy, maybe he did it, maybe he didn't do it.
I think...
Maybe he did it and he's crazy.
I think you have enough money, you will always get away with whatever you do. He hired the two best lawyers in the area to get off of the initial thing after he finally got caught. And he was happy in prison, too. That's weird.
See, but this is a guy with ambition.
Is it?
Well, see, I have so little ambition, it's just kind of pathetic.
So you're saying that I should never suspect you of killing anyone?
No, because no, exactly.
So yes,
I would never want anything so much that I would think I should kill somebody to get this. I'd be like, oh, okay, I'll just not have that whatever.
What you buy it yourself? I mean, let's.
Well, okay, but even so,
Spike, I just want to point out that
I've been a college student. You know, I can get by on not much. if need be.
Really, at this point, after all these years,
if it came to that, if it came to that,
yeah. What if it came to that? But you're not gonna like willingly let it come to that.
Well, no, but I wouldn't kill anybody in order to prevent myself from being on the level of a college student again.
Okay, so now we're in Walking Dead territory. What? It is zombie fucking apocalypse.
All right, that's different.
Someone is coming at you with a gun, and they've got food. Do you kill that?
They're coming at me with a gun, though, Mike. That's different.
But say the words.
I would shoot at them or try to kill them, yes.
Oh, you're going
to
miss?
Because they're threatening my life.
Why can't you kill them in this scenario?
Anybody was threatening Mr. Durst's actual life.
No, I'm just saying you're being weirdly defensive about no one accusing you of murdering anyone, yet you're offering the fact you can never do it, which I think is a little weird.
I'm just saying that these people...
What do you mean,
the murderers,
these people?
The cult leaders
need
a certain amount of... Not a certain amount, a lot of ambition, a lot of go-get-it-ness.
I think it's ambition and charisma. I think when you have those two things, you can generally...
But thank God I have neither.
Spike?
I will never be a threat on the level of what's his name, Jones.
Oh, yeah. Jim Jones?
Jim Jones.
Wasn't there multiple guys named Jim Jones?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be leading any cult anytime ever. I was going to say anytime soon, but then just ever. Not in the cards for me. I don't think I'd join one either.
That's a lot of work.
That would be work.
You have to wear a sack.
To probably have to sign things.
I don't know. Well, I don't know if you sign things or you just, you let them have sex with your wife. I'm pretty sure that's just intrinsic to any cult.
Yeah.
I'm pretty convinced of that.
I'd just be like, no.
I'm good.
That's okay.
Yeah. I don't, No. I mean, unless there's like cool benefits.
Because I don't have that attachment to myth and ritual.
Or a cuckold fantasy.
Well, that's a different kind of ritual.
Well, porn you could argue it's a thing. I don't know.
Oh, well, okay, then I do apparently have some interest in ritual now. Sure.
So let's talk about that kind of ritual.
And with that...
Well, we're at the hour, Mark.
And on that bombshell. I hope Clarkson comes back. He's such a dick, but he's entertaining.
Clarkson?
I just made a quick shift into talking about Top Gear.
Whoa. What?
I know.
I've never seen a full episode.
Because you're not a car guy like I am.
Not like you.
I mean, I'm not even that much of a car guy, but I still find it very entertaining.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You are such a car guy.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's my myth then. That's my ritual.
You have been test driving a lot of cars lately.
Hmm.
But do you like put on the lambskin leather gloves and pull them three times and then strap them shut and then...
Not anymore. I used to, though.
You did have rituals.
I did have driving gloves when I was younger. That was a different time.
Wow. That was a different... What are you, Ted Mosby from How I Met Your Mother?
Oh, my God. That was when I was driving my Pontiac Sunbird.
You had hair?
Like a 1984. Yeah, I had long hair.
Yeah, I've seen it. Did you have that creepy fucking mustache?
At times.
When I was in my pedophile mode.
Like everybody in the 80s had long hair in the back.
There was a lot of mustaches.
There was mullets everywhere.
80s were a weird time. It was an ugly decade.
It was, unless you like pastels, in which case it was very attractive.
I neither like pastels nor neon. So it was an ugly decade.
Aww.
I was born in that decade. That was all I knew up until 1990.
So I guess you don't care much for Miami Vice reruns.
I am more of a Magnum P.I. guy. Oh,
you.
That's a mustache. Sorry, it's true. I don't know, Don Johnson, white blazer, it's never really did it for me.
Dude had a pet crocodile.
I don't even know if I ever saw an episode, so that's news to me. I had no idea. I watched him in Nash Bridges.
No, doesn't count.
Yeah, I don't think it did. More of a desperate plea for pity. Actually, it wasn't a bad show. They did...
Yeah, it was.
But Nash Bridges,
No.
It was one dude from Miami Vice and one dude from Cheech and Chong. And then they did an episode where they brought in the other dude from Miami Vice and the other dude from Cheech and Chong. Yeah.
Because they were desperate for work.
Oh, yeah. Tommy Chong? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Philip Michael Thomas? Yeah.
Well, clearly we've just identified what side of that equation we knew more about. I think it's time we signed off.
Yes.
So to close out our ritual, you are S. Michael Smith.
And you are Michael Carassi.
And we are buddies in space, and we may actually get syndicated Woo! Really soon for this podcast. Woo!
Not for this podcast. Not,
hopefully they don't listen to this podcast when they're deciding. And goodbye.